Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, episode 76, I think. There was a number on screen, you probably just saw it. But hey, if you listen to us, take my word for it, it's number 76. And joining me, Robin, today are Martin and Alex. And we're live. How do you feel about that, Martin?
How do I feel about being live? Yeah, no, happy to be live. I mean, we were live for, when were we live for? We were live on Twitch sometimes.
We have been live before.
And we've been live on...
I'm live on Twitch pretty You're live frequently, on Twitch, yeah. I will say.
Exactly,
Playing through some games over there. It's fun. Yeah, it's good. Yeah. I'm very excited that we're live today. We've already had one technical difficulty. just setting this up. I think some music didn't play right, but oh well.
Yeah, you may have had a musicless intro just then. You may have heard my voice saying, oh, it's silent, but you know. We'll fix that in post. But so all exciting things happening when they're live. And today we'll be discussing a very tragic and terrible tale about Walter and Christine Collins, a mystery that technically is still unsolved to this day. But hopefully we shall reveal the pertinent information for you to be able to make up your own minds. But before then, we'll be discussing things that we learned this week, and we'll be looking at our favourite comments and, of course, chatting to you live and probably doing a quiz at the end of all that. I've prepared a few questions for Martin and Alex to go tete-a-tete to see if Martin can actually catch up with Alex in the season's competition. He's only one behind.
That would be the moment where we realise we haven't prepared a quiz, wouldn't it? It's like, who's done the quiz?
Also, Martin, I think last time on the podcast, you said that, time to do a quiz.
100%.
It's 100% my time to do a quiz. That's the reason why I'm catching up, because I haven't done my quiz in ages.
As it's my time to do a quiz. It took us to like a day before, and someone's like, I've done a quiz, because no, you haven't done it. You haven't done the quiz, so we're all covered. And then it's like, oh, cool, thanks. Yeah, great, cheers. So yes, thank you, Robin, for doing the quiz. I have to do like six in a row now to be anywhere near catching up. But yes, I do understand. By the way, I did find the French trophy.
You did.
So Alex.
So it was lost. You admit it was lost.
it was slightly lost.
I want proof of life, Martin.
Yeah, I have to. Yeah, taped around its mouth. Yeah. There we go.
I like that. Martin says, I found the trophy and refuses to show it on camera.
I know.
It's just taunting us here.
It's all words.
Well, let's get into the things that we learned this week, gentlemen. Martin, what did you learn this week?
Well, I learned about the Swedish speed camera lottery.
Okay.
So this is what it sounds like. Stockholm specifically experimented with rewarding people who didn't speed. So what they did basically, instead of the speed cameras catching everyone and the money basically going to like the local council or whoever it goes to in the UK, the money went into, a portion of the money went into a pool. Which then, of course, for the people who didn't speed, was people had a ticket. If you didn't speed, didn't get caught, didn't get any points in your license, had a ticket to the lottery to win the money of the people that were speeding.
Oh, wow.
Which I think is quite a nice idea. And I just wanted to bring up, firstly, just because, do you think that this is something that could be implemented wider than just in Stockholm and Sweden? And do you think that it actually would work? Those are the two questions I have for you guys. Would this stop you from speeding? I know, do either of you drive? I don't know if you drive, do you?
I don't really drive, but I could imagine myself driving, and I imagine that it would stop me from speeding. Yeah, for sure. I think it depends how many people it captures on that road and what the chances are of actually winning and how much money actually would be. If it's like, I don't know, are there any records of winnings in the past?
No, there aren't. It's quite a fairly close kept secret. So no, there isn't, but just imagine that if it was, say, 50%, okay, so I think I know how many speed tickets there are. Yeah. That'd be like 25, say it was just a speed ticket, like 50 quid, 30 quid. I've never got a speeding ticket. Isn't that amazing?
I don't drive, so I don't know.
Like, you've never got one either. Yeah, crazy. But yeah, that must be a lot of money. I just think the idea of being able to win a big sum of money just from not speeding would encourage people not to.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think it would work for me, but maybe that's one for the chat. Would having a lottery that would benefit you from, from not speeding, would you be inclined to speed less Or is it just if you're in a rush, you know, you're gonna speed anyway and take the risk? Let us know in the comments.
So hang on, the way that you get an entry, did you say it was just driving down the road and you're picked up, but for not for speeding? And that's, what if you drive down it multiple times? Do you get multiple entries? You've got like gambling addicts just driving down this one road 1,000 times a day to get 1,000 entries.
You don't get a ticket every time you don't speed. You get one for not speeding total.
Oh, okay. So everyone in the country,
period of time, wherever it is, every month or whatever, then you're entered, you get your one ticket into the lottery.
Okay. So that's good. So like, you know, people that really want to get involved, they can't abuse the system, get multiple entries or anything.
No, you can't just snail your
You can't just buy 1,000 lottery tickets. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like it. I like it a lot.
That's really nice. Typical of the Scandinavian countries to be far ahead of the rest of us.
Rewarding good behavior rather than punishing.
I like that. I like that very much. So, Alex, what have you learned this week?
So this week I learned about, it's quite a dark story, actually. Okay. But I thought in the theme of the topic of this week, which is quite dark, I learned that in 1911, there was a baseball team in, you'll never guess where, in the US. and it was made up of death row inmates who had been told that as long as they kept winning games, their executions would be delayed.
Wait a minute, that's not nice. That's a bad thing.
No, yeah, it is a bad thing. It's pretty cruel, to be honest. This was in Wyoming in 1911. The team was Wyoming State Penitentiary. And their mascot was the warden's son. So there's pictures of the team where it's a team comprised of like rapists and murderers and armed robbers and that kind of thing. And every game that this team won, their execution dates would be pushed back by, you know, a set period of time. But eventually, I think this was shut down basically. They only played 4 games, but they won every game because, of course, they did. They were playing for their lives.
It worked. Yeah, let's get it in the MLB.
Yeah,
Red Sox. the guillotines outside. Yeah,
I imagine they also probably had the skill set to, you know, nobble the opposition players quite effectively.
Yeah, yeah.
They know where the arteries are.
They didn't play by the rules. That's for sure.
Also, if you're the opposition and you're like, we're playing a whole load of death row mates, if they lose, they're going to get killed.
Yeah.
Like, surely you're going to be like, I don't want to be the person who's like, oh, crap, we beat them. They're all dead now. Like, you know?
But also from a different angle, maybe they'd be more motivated because they'd be like, I'm playing against rapists and murderers. Well, this is literally true. A fight
that's
evil.
Maybe they were too busy holding their trousers up, you know, trying to make sure they weren't pulled down and attacked.
There we go.
There we go.
Yeah. They're good pantser.
There we go. Yeah. Is it a home run? No, it's just rape. But moving on. So what was the outcome of this, Alex? Did the prisoners all get executed anyway?
They were all executed, yeah. So I think they adopted a different approach, where a more rehabilitation approach of prisoners, where they were trying to teach them things. So, you know, they didn't get to play any more baseball, but they were taught some algebra before getting executed.
I mean, math, they always say math isn't useful at the best of times, don't they? Like, we're never going to use this in real life. And 90% of the time, it's true.
But, yeah.
I mean, it really isn't useful if you're going to get killed soon after. Dang, Napoleon.
So, I mean, what do you guys think about this? Because, like, it's... On the one hand, I think it, you know, I'm not a proponent of the death penalty, full stop. So I think that's cruel, but this is needlessly cruel, surely. Like, because imagine the stress involved with that, like playing a game for your life. Just,
but also,
if you're going to sentence someone to death, and then what do you think about, like, you in America, you see people on death row for like decades, don't you?
Yeah.
Imagine the kind of mental toll on that. I mean, many people would say, you know, they don't deserve any sympathy, and I get that as well. But just as a human, you kind of can't not have empathy.
Well, it's torture, isn't it? As you said, and it's kind of, it calls into question the point of existence. If the point of playing is to extend your time on this earth as a prisoner baseball player, then all you can do is play baseball and go to prison. with the time you've got left, right?
Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, so what's the
better get pretty good. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting thing because when there's always the stays of execution, the legal challenges on death row, it's always feels a little bit like that. Like there's always this relief about the immediate reprieve from an execution, but at the same time, these people are just like, all right, well, this is going to come out again and again and again and again. Like, I don't know the stats for it, but I imagine that the average number of stays of execution is in multiples, isn't it? Between someone being on death row and then being executed.
Yeah.
I wonder what the average time is of someone on death row. Something we should Google.
I imagine it's
a decent amount of time, isn't it?
Yeah. Double M in the chat says this is like gladiatorial games, which it kind of is. Mm. And this happened just over 100 years ago. Mm. Actually, that's weird. 1911. You don't feel like that's
111 over 100 years ago.
Years ago, but,
wow. The big 111. Wow. Well, weird. I learned something slightly less dark this week. Actually, not dissimilar to Martin's, whereas in Sweden they have a lottery to reward people for good behavior, in the UK you just get accidental technical clerical errors. And this was something that happened just a couple of weeks ago. We had Storm Arwen, Liv Tyler, wreaking havoc on the UK. And during that storm, you may remember, fellas, that a bunch of people, tens of thousands of people in the country had their power cut off.
When was this? Storm Arwen? Yeah, is that what it was called?
Yeah.
Arwen. I thought it was Eunice. Was that?
No, that was this week. Storm Arwen was two weeks ago.
Wow. And I haven't been outside in a while.
Yeah. We're on to Storm Franklin now. This is where we are. We've had quite a few storms in the past fortnight. But Storm Arwen, who looks like she was a cutie pie compared to the current storms we're having, cut off tens of thousands of people's power. And of course, energy firms were compelled by our energy watchdog to reimburse those customers and give them payouts for the energy that they lost. And it was supposed to be tens of thousands of pounds to customers hit by several days without power last year. A few people living in Halifax and Newcastle in the north of England received checks made out for 13-figure sums. 2.3 trillion pounds.
Wow. I mean, stupid question. I'm not even going to follow through with that. But do they get to keep it?
No,
yes.
Sadly.
No, I mean, there's no country anymore.
They might keep the checks.
The economy is dead.
They can't cash them. Yeah, 74 customers got these £2.3 trillion payouts. And it made headlines because the energy company then had to apologise for the clerical error that resulted in these overly generous checks. So... I don't know. How would you feel? Would you switch energy supplier after that? I don't know.
You think they might be messing up your, slightly on a regular basis, your standard tariff, if they're messing that up by so much? Or do they just not put a full stop in or something? Or, yeah, man, too many zeros. Too many zeros.
I mean, even if they didn't put a full stop in, where did they put that full stop? Why do they need that many zeros on that tool?
How did that happen? Yeah. Someone just leaned on the zero key for a moment when they're typing it in. We've got a comment from too many comments come in. That girl Jane Fox says, storm destroyed my wood. Angry about that.
Yeah,
that's sad. Is it your personal wood?
I was gonna say, that's quite a luxury.
Yeah, your local wood where you go for
it's not some kind of euphemism, is it? The storm destroyed my wood. So ready. Storm destroyed it. Although the storm did knock down my fence. I need to rebuild my fence. It's gone, the fence.
Oh no.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
And the bench at the back. Although the bench I needed to take an axe to. So I'm glad it destroyed that. It's gone, but for good.
My gosh. It destroyed a bench. That's pretty hefty.
Yeah. I mean, the bench was trashed anyway. But I need to get rid of it. And now it's kind of broken up into pieces. So
Do you know what you guys should do? You should move to Scotland. I moved to Scotland and everyone was like, it's going to be cold. There's going to be horrible storms. There's going to be horrible weather up there. It's been bloody lovely. Like nothing. Everyone down south has been having a nightmare of a time. It's just been a bit of wind. Just close the window. That's it.
I mean, it's not Edinburgh. It's not just the storms in the south that make living in England a nightmare at the moment, Alex. There are many, many, many things wrong.
You made
a good decision. Come the apocalypse, when everything descends into Mad Max territory, I feel like Nicola Sturgeon will lead the Scots to conquer the world.
I could just got a mental image of Nicola Sturgeon standing on top of like a Mad Max truck with flames coming out the side, just holding the severed head of Boris Johnson. Yeah, I think that's going to come to pass.
Gets an electric guitar. That
throws exactly. Flamethrowers out.
Yeah. Like it.
Well, that girl Jane Fox has clarified it was the Capo Woods in Edsel, not their own.
Where's Edsel
Woods? Yeah,
I haven't heard of Edsel.
You don't have to give us your address, that girl Jane Fox, but if you'd like to divulge the locality of where you live, please do. What's the guy?
AM says it ripped the roof off the O2 center. Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, that was funny. It's funny because that made me laugh because I thought it needs a good clean. When you look at the pictures, that thing was never very attractive, was it, fellas? The Millennium Dome.
Yeah,
it was not. It was not a nice building. So hopefully they'll give it a slightly better roof.
Did you ever visit it? Did anyone in the chat ever visit the Millennium Dome when it was the Millennium Dome? Before, like when it was that weird art exhibit.
Yeah.
I have vague childhood memories of visiting that and seeing the like body thing exhibition they had there.
Oh yeah. You went inside the human body, didn't you? You went up an escalator into the human body.
Up some escalators.
Yeah, that was pretty good. And then there was like a wall of money or something, wasn't there? And then there was like a trip around London. And then there was, of course, the Millennium Diamond, where there was a heist to try and steal it. And I can't remember what happened. I think the police replaced the real diamond. This might be Wallace and Gromit. Replaced the real diamond with a false one, and then the robbers like got into the false one, and then they caught them. I think that was it. Maybe I made that up. But I think that was
brilliant.
Right. There was some heist that went on. They tried to steal it. It was like the biggest diamond in the UK, and they failed spectacularly, which is great.
Nice. I mean, you'd go for the diamond in the O2 rather than the Tower of London, wouldn't you?
The security.
It's probably a less secure venue.
You'd hope so.
Easier to get in.
Yeah.
We have a comment from T-Kane or T-Kane. You want me to say that if you're Klingon or not. But asking a question, technical question. Can I post a link? YouTube video. I mean, feel free to try. I genuinely don't know... I don't know how the live chat works. So
you're welcome to try.
Go ahead. Give it a go.
Yeah.
Can you guys see anything in this video? I've seen something similar, but way more intense.
Sounds like a rabbit hole to me.
I'm not sure what that is, yeah.
The whole channel is strange.
Exciting stuff, though.
Okay, that sounds like a mystery to investigate, along with Martin's diamond heist at the Millennium Dome. We've got stories to tell.
But, we do. Some male...
Doom has also commented saying, love a good heist. There aren't enough good heists these days, which...
technically true.
Do you know what? It depends like where, what the heist is.
Yeah.
But when someone pulls off a really cool heist, even though they've done something bad and people have felt threatened and it's not a good thing, you do kind of feel like, fair play. Like DB Cooper.
You can't help but think,
what a suave, cool... dude, even though he's, you know, terrified people and hijacked a plane.
Yeah, like the great great train robbery in Britain, was it the 60s? They all got caught, but it was still respect, even though it was violent. And then the most recent spectacular heist we had in the UK was that one where they cut a hole in the back of the bank or something. Or was it a jeweler's or something?
Hatton Garden.
Yeah, that's right.
Hatton Garden robbery, yeah. Mm. Yeah, that was quite a big one. Yeah, there was one quite near me, because I'm south of London. The Securitas deposit, which is in a town called Tunbridge in the UK, and they stole—I think they stole like $100 million, over $100 million.
Whoa!
Yeah, it's one of the biggest ones in the UK history.
Yeah, that's amazing.
It's right up there.
I never heard that. Yeah.
Yeah. No, look it up.
Okay.
It was a few years ago now. It's probably like 15 years ago, and they stole a ridiculous amount, and it was for a while. It was like one of the highest, if not the highest, in the UK. And I think a lot of the money's still missing, actually. I don't think they recovered much of it.
I imagine money...
Which is always the case. It's always like people go to prison for like 15 years.
Yeah.
And yet most of the money's gone.
Yeah.
Yeah, they must... When you're making a robbery or a heist of that scale, you've almost certainly got a very swift plan of how to deal with the money, right? So it just vanishes incredibly quickly. And
but
as
you
much
hear
as,
that, don't you? Yeah. You hear that, don't you, of like bank robbers and stuff, and they haven't thought about what they're going to do afterwards. It's like they they hadn't even planned for the possibility of it being a success, because then they have the money and they immediately try and spend it and get caught.
Go to Spain. That's where most of them go, isn't it? It's like, go to Spain. Okay. Spain or like,
Cuba. Yeah.
Yeah. One of the two.
Always one of those two.
Yeah, but you're right. We need more heists. We need more heists. Yeah. True.
Do you have
My God, YouTube's going to censor us again, aren't they?
Oh, yeah, always.
We need more heists.
Call to action. There we go. Do you have any comments, gentlemen, that you'd like to address? Either live ones in the chat, we've already been answering a few, or any from the past week on our previous videos, podcast episodes.
I had one that I wanted to address, we've already kind of covered it earlier in the in the intro. But Doom commented on the last podcast that we did on the Antikythera mechanism. Uh-huh. And he said, if I was Martin, I would hide the quiz cup in the background of every podcast just to make Alex go insane. Yep. Do you know what? If I was in Martin's situation, I would also do the same. But I think this is worse. Just not knowing what happened. What was the fate of the cup?
It's like the Holy Grail. What actually happened to it?
This is like a just interesting Holy Grail at this point. It's
it's basically the same thing. Nice. So, well, I've got one from Bot Ginko, and he says, I want to just do it in a northern accent for some reason, and I'm not quite sure why, but keep it up, boys. Get me past the time. Plus, your voice don't look like you.
Well, thank you.
There we go. So thanks, Bot Ginko.
Thank you. Yeah. And I wonder who they're talking about there. Is it all three of us?
This one was on the episode 75, the ancient Greek artifact that shouldn't exist. So it's not like what's her name? Sorry, Robin.
I don't know.
What's her name? The astronaut.
Oh, Lisa Novak.
Oh, Lisa.
Novak. Yeah. It wasn't the Lisa Novak one that you did specifically.
Just me. Or Alex's anti-aging thing, immortality video, which is really good, by the way.
Anti-aging.
Just Alex recommending some moisturizers. And this one is my favorite.
I've gone into multi-level marketing, yeah. just selling Avon products.
Look, girls, do you want to be your own bitch boss? Okay. You can do it from home.
How would you like to earn $500 a month, Martin? Being your own boss.
It was a way more interesting video than that. For those of you who haven't seen it, I do thoroughly recommend you go and watch Alex's Are Humans About to Become Immortal video, which was really great. Fascinating.
That's very, very kind of you, Robin. And I'd say don't watch that. Go and watch Robin's video instead.
You guys. I've got another one that comes up quite a lot, and it's from Sir Pleased. It says, what happened to the old channel? I can't stop thinking about it since you guys always bring it up. So yeah, the old channel, gone. But he also writes, also thank you for these podcasts. I'm working at Walmart doing online shopping, and they really make my time 100% better.
Thank you, good to hear a tale of joy
and comfort at this troubled time.
We do get that comment quite a lot, so we just reiterate one more time, like very briefly, what happened. I mean, feel free to go back and watch our first ever podcast where we explain this in depth, but essentially we stopped that. Well, that channel is owned by another company, and we stopped being on that channel and have nothing to do with it now. And they've decided to unlist it or delist all the videos on it. So we have no say over that now. That's just in the past, sadly. I mean, if it was up to us, they'd still be public.
Yeah.
But we don't have any say over it, sadly.
Someone's asked me in the chat.
Yeah.
Did you end up getting a coffee grinder? Not yet. Not yet, Simon. It's on the list. I need to patch up the roof first, and then the coffee grinder's next.
Some comments that you said that you wanted a manual grinder, didn't you, Martin?
Yeah.
And people were like, no.
They're like, no, don't be lazy.
Don't do that.
No, but I don't want to be lazy about it, you know? You know, it's just the kind of aesthetic of the thing, you know, being able to grind it and feeling the grind as opposed to just pressing a button and getting a horrible.
We used to have an antique coffee grinder from the 19th century. Proper, you know, grinding, real lever, hard work kind of thing. Heavy, made of wood with a metal components in the middle to actually grind the coffee. I don't think it worked.
I think using a manual coffee grinder is a fantastic way to give up coffee. I'd never bothered making a cup of coffee.
Yeah,
you've got to think. You know, it's the morning time. Thing. Yeah, it's the morning when you're having coffee, isn't it? That's the thing.
Yeah.
And so, why can you be bothered in the morning?
Just remember.
I've got to think about it. I've got time.
Remember to switch arms, Martin, on alternate days, so that you're not just going to get one really big right arm
from
all the all the grinding.
A coffee arm.
I could see it pulsing. Anyway. if there are no more comments, shall we move on to our main discussion and topic of the week?
Let's do it. Yes,
let's. And let's indeed.
Today, Alex, Martin, and I will be discussing the bizarre and somewhat twisted case of Walter Collins Jr. and his mother, Christine Collins.
Yes.
And it's a sad story that goes back to the 1920s. Is that right, Martin?
Yes, 1928, in fact, when little Walter Jr. was just 9 years old. And so just a little bit of background. So his mum, called Christine Collins, as you said, she married a man who was a convict, Walter Sr. And they had a son in 1918 called Walter Jr. And they settled in Lincoln Heights in L.A. as their family home. And so on March 10th, 1928, Walter, being just 9 years old, his mum, Christine, gave him some money to go to the local cinema to watch a movie. Not sure what movie it was, because he never came back. And so as the hours passed between like dusk and it turned into darkness, Christine contacted the LAPD to report that Walter was missing. And so immediately their mind went to Walter's father. Not that he'd taken Walter, because he was actually in prison, in Folsom State Prison, but because he worked in the prison cafeteria. And apparently one of his responsibilities was reporting people for like bad behavior in the prison itself. And so they thought that perhaps he'd made some enemies whilst in prison, and that this had been an abduction as a bit of revenge from the people that he'd kind of dobbed in, as it were, in the prison for doing bad things. So basically that was their first thought. And so the LAPD at this time were not really in the best shape. They were in the bad book, general public. There was corruption scandals that were going on, and there was some other missing cases, missing people cases that they just weren't solving. So they were a little bit useless. And so at this time they were pretty desperate to make sure that that Walter was found, preferably alive and preferably really quickly, so they could get a notch under their belt on this one. And so earlier in 1928, someone called Marion Parker was abducted and killed by a horrific known killer, a guy called William Hickman, who was only 19 at the time, in LA. So there were other like child abduction cases that had ended pretty badly. So they were really, really keen to get this sorted as soon as possible. So they got some tips in at the time of people that supposedly saw Walter around the area. There was a gas station, and the attendant in the gas station, a guy called Richard Slobbers, claimed to have seen him in the back of a car wrapped in newspapers, which struck me as a little bit odd. There isn't too much more information about how he was wrapped or anything, but just wrapped up in newspapers. And some of the reports that I saw suggested that he was potentially dead, whilst others thought that he was alive. So there's a little bit of miscommunication about whether he was alive or dead there. But apparently that's what these people saw. And so another man at the gas station as well, a guy called C.V. Stanley, followed this foreign looking couple. But they apparently sped off when they thought that they were being followed. Interesting that they specifically said foreign. It's a little bit foreign person took him. Yeah. Anyway, so Walter wasn't seen. He actually, spoilers, but he wasn't seen ever again. Over the next 5 months, there were no arrests made. There was no sign of him, and so it looked like it was going to stay unsolved. But at this time, within this 5 month period, earlier on, May time, two brothers called Nelson and Lewis Winslow had also gone missing and supposedly had been abducted in LA as well. And so there was a growing mounting pressure on LAPD to solve this particular case. And so they were doing everything. Well, they were hoping that basically Walter would either show up or they would get some kind of breakthrough, because nothing was happening. Nothing was going for them at the time. And so in August of 1928, they remarkably got a call from the police department in a place called DeKalb in Illinois. I don't know if anyone in the chat or anywhere at home is from there. But
shout out to DeKalb, Illinois.
Yeah, exactly. And the DeKalb police said that Walter had been discovered alive. And so they sent a whole load of pictures over to the LAPD department. But there was one problem with this. And this was that when they showed the pictures to Christine, she was certain that this boy just was not her son. Like, if you look at the pictures, there's like a resemblance, but it's clearly not her son. Like, you know who your son is. It's been 5 months. It's not like it's been like 30 years, right? And so the police were so desperate to get a breakthrough in the case that they basically dismissed what she said and asked her to pay. I mean, she was desperate, of course. It's not him, but, you know, let's meet this person, maybe have some information at least. So she paid, I think it was $70 for him to come from Illinois over to LA.
And that's a lot of money back then. $70. That's in today's money, that would be, I don't know, but
a
like
lot.
15 times more than that, probably. Yeah, something like that. 10, 15 times more.
Yeah, it'd be a massive amount of money. So anyway, so Walter, in inverted commas, came to LA. But then, of course, when he met up, Christine was like, yeah, it's not my son. Mm. And this is the craziest bit of the story here. I laugh if it wasn't so tragic, but the police, and in particular this Captain Jones, who was like the chief in charge of this case, they basically were desperate to have this reunification of the mother and son as being like really good PR after the previous murders and people going missing. So he told Christine to try out the boy for a while, to take him home and basically see what happened, like see if you remember that he's your son or see if it works out, which is just absolutely insane. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah. I think the quote is try him out for a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
Like a car. Take him for a test drive. Absolutely mental.
As I say, hilarious if it wasn't so horrific.
Just to interrupt you, Martin, Doom in the chat says, oh, like that Angelina Jolie film. Yeah, this is the case of that, the Changeling, isn't it? The 2008
right.
film.
Yeah, that's correct. A film I haven't actually seen, so I do want to watch it. I will watch after this. So she did, weirdly, she did as well, which is, I think, is also kind of odd. You know, that's a bit strange as well, isn't it? Anyway, she took the boy home. Maybe it was for shelter or whatever. And of course, she came back a couple of weeks later and was like, yeah, still not my son.
Not my son.
I have, you know, still, you know, after a couple of weeks, I can see it's not my son. And so Captain Jones, in a remarkable, bizarre case, accused her of being a bad mother and for looking to embarrass the police force.
Oh, it's mad, isn't it? Yeah. I think his words were something like, what are you trying to do? You're trying to make us look foolish. And she's like, I just want to find my son.
My son back, please.
This is not my son. Yeah.
Yeah. I want to find my son. You're the most cruel, heartless woman I've ever met, I think is what he said, or something like that.
Absolutely bizarre. So the upshot of this was that Christine was put in a psychiatric ward for like 10 days under a code 12, which is the code they use to jail someone who's considered basically an inconvenience to the police.
Wow.
So she was there for 12 days. She was there for 12 days and then was released. So she was put in prison for debating taking some random kid home. So the LAPD were like, okay, well, this is a little bit odd. We've been embarrassed and we've had our ego hit, but it is a bit odd that there's this kid who like clearly isn't this woman's son. We've seen pictures, etc.
Yeah.
And so they basically took the kid to the police station and grilled him for hours and hours. And in the end, he admitted that he was lying. And in fact, was a 12-year-old boy, so 3 years older, called Arthur Hitchens. And he was actually from Iowa. And so the boy had been pretending to be Walter because he wanted to escape to get to Hollywood. There was like a Hollywood star that he was really, really invested in. He wanted to get there. Yeah. And he'd been suffering abuse at the hands of his stepmother, supposedly after his mother died. And so he used this as an excuse. He saw it in like the local news, basically, from where he was, that this boy had been abducted. And it was like, oh, look, kind of similar. Like, it will get me to LA where I want to be. Of course, she'll realize that I'm not her son, but it won't matter. I'll be in Hollywood, maybe. Yeah.
Yeah,
the actor Tom Mix, I think, was the boy's favorite actor. I think he was like a Western actor. He would just, I mean, I kind of can't fault him for trying that.
Well,
I think, didn't someone say to him in like a diner or wherever he was, like, oh, he resembles this missing kid.
Yeah, someone put the idea in his head by saying, you look a bit like that kid. Because everyone was
you look like that kid in Hollywood that he's gone missing.
Yeah.
Hollywood, you say?
If anybody's interested, especially those watching us, on screen right now, you should be able to see a side-by-side comparison. On the right-hand side is the original Walter Collins, an image of him in the newspaper. On the left-hand side is a picture of, was it Arthur Hutchins? Is that his name?
Yeah.
The changeling child. And I don't know if the resemblance is that strong. They both have ears and a nose, which is kind of similar.
The kid on the left, old Arthur, he looks a little bit like he's like a son of like an Italian mafia boss, doesn't he? He's like, hey, what do you know? Like, whereas the one on the right looks like a kind of shy.
She said that, didn't she? Like, she said that, you know, her son was a really polite young man, really easy to look after, whereas this new boy is difficult, and he always calls me Ma. Like, she actually said that. Hey, Ma!
Yeah, and he's also not my son. Like, oh, man. She's obviously in, like, a horrendous state, right?
Yeah.
Kid's been abducted, hasn't come home for 5 months.
And she's been in prison in the psychiatric ward. Yeah.
Yeah, and people see all, you know, people want to do whatever they can. People see mediums and psychics or whatever, even if they before, previously, don't believe in it at all. So I don't know whether there's, like, a tiniest bit of hope that in some way there's some kind of connection there, you know. So you don't know what's going on with poor Christine. But but Arthur Hutchins, apparently went on to lead a pretty successful life, and he died later in 1954. So he just led a pretty normal.
I mean, you say that though, 1954, he couldn't have been that old then.
Well, no, you know, he died quite young actually, didn't he? But he led like a basically normal life. For the rest of it, but yeah, no, you're right. He wouldn't have been that already.
It's sad, isn't it? Because you've got one child's gone missing, but then you've got this other child who's from an abusive family, who's run away from home, who just wants to get a good life for himself, and has seized an opportunity in perhaps a very American way to better himself, obviously at the expense of other people. But at the same time, he's only been able to do this. He's been facilitated, as you say, Martin, by the police being incredibly negligent and kind of, what's not just negligent, what's like the step beyond that, where they
corrupt
like, that's a good word, maybe.
Callous. They're actually, this is just so they can close a case, even though the case isn't solved. It's not closed. You can't just say, you can't, they were trying to, people in the comments are saying this is, you know, textbook gaslighting. They're trying to gaslight this woman into thinking that this is her son.
Actually insane. Yeah, pretty mad. So what happened to the real Walter Collins? So just to kind of step back a little bit, in September 1928, a Canadian woman called Winifred Clark contacted the US authorities to say that her nephew, Sanford Clark, had been kidnapped and taken to California. And so this is Jessie Clark. Was worried about her, that was her nickname, Jessie Clark, was worried about her 15-year-old brother, since he left a couple of years prior to this to go and work on his uncle Gordon Stewart Northcutt's farm, his chicken farm, and his uncle was only 21 at the time. So Jessie decided to go and investigate and be like, okay, I'm worried about my brother who's on this farm in California. So she headed down to California, found her uncle, and found that he was actually abusing her brother at this farm. And so Sanford was taken away. So Sanford Clark, the younger brother, was taken away from this place, and eventually he came clean to investigators who said that his uncle had kidnapped him and had physically and sexually abused him on this chicken farm in California, and forced him to watch the abuse and the murders of young boys, including Walter Collins, and then the two brothers I mentioned earlier, Nelson and Lewis Winslow, and also some other boys apparently too. And he's told these investigators that on occasions he made him also participate in these particular murders, and led them to this incubator room to see the hatching of the chicks, and then would kill them with an axe from behind, and then would cover their bodies in quicklime to destroy, well, to supposedly try and destroy the evidence. And so Sanford,
sorry to interrupt, quicklime, is that what is that, like he's trying to dissolve them, is that
I think that's the case. Yeah, I think
it's some kind of chemical. He's trying to get rid of them Walter White style.
Does Walter end up using that? I'm not sure. Yeah,
I don't know if it's quicklime, but he dissolves people in acid, I think.
Yeah, it's like it's that kind of thing, isn't it? It's like a
quicklime
like
kills all the smell and the germs and everything. It just burns it. Yeah. I think you're right. Dissolves.
It's a white caustic alkaline crystalline solid at room temperature. Okay, So there we go.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, so it would be used to get rid of the bodies. Pretty horrendous stuff. Yeah. So Sanford, the younger brother, told the police that he could find graves near the chicken coop the grave of Walter Collins and of the other bodies. And so when the police went down there, they investigated this particular place, and they did find graves, but they didn't find like the whole bodies. They just found like bits and pieces of bones and stuff.
Yes.
And also they found weapons within the house, in this particular house, and farm equipment that had hair and blood coated on it. So, of course, Gordon Northcutt was arrested. He actually had gone back to Canada, where he was from originally, visiting, and he was arrested there along with his mother, Sarah Louise Northcutt. Mm-hmm. So he confessed to the murder of Walter Collins. Northcutt's mother confessed to the murder of Walter Collins. She's saying that she actually ended up killing him because he like knew too much about what was going on at the particular farm.
Right.
And so I don't know whether she was actually trying to cover for her son, but in the end he ended up admitting to the murders of Nelson and Lewis Winslow, the two brothers that were abducted in LA, and a Mexican boy called Alva Gothia. It's not known whether there were more. Like, investigators initially thought there might have been over 20 bodies.
Yeah.
But in the end he was charged for those three, but not Walter Collins. It was his mother that was charged with Walter Collins' murder. But the body of Walter Collins was never found.
Yeah. It's quite strange, isn't it? Like, it's a mother and son doing these crimes together.
It's really weird. If you look into it properly, there's a lot of detail on the fact that Gordon did, that him and his mother were in like an incestuous relationship, and that his dad had like raped his sister and stuff. It's like really horrific stuff. There's a lot going on there that was horrendous, and of course the murders as well. The fact that he was involved with it, that his mother was involved with it, and then also that they dragged in his nephew
as
well. It's just the whole thing's just complete Sanford, poor Sanford. In February 1929, Northcott was convicted of the murders of those three boys. And whilst awaiting trial, Christine met up with Northcott in prison, but said that his answers were like really conflicting. He was like saying, I think I remember him, but actually I don't. I'm not sure if I've ever met him. And so she then believed as a result of this that her son could still be alive. And my personal opinion here is that he was probably playing games with her. And going back and forth of like, oh, I'm not sure if I knew him. I'm not sure if I saw him. You know how you get this with some serial killers when they try and play games with the family. Mm. And so, in the end, he said, oh, yeah, I'll tell you all about it, all about what happened. This was a few days before his eventual execution, actually. I'll tell you all about it if you come and visit me, and promise to tell the truth. Of course, when she arrived, she said, oh, I don't want to see you. I don't want to see you. I'm innocent. I don't want to see you.
So
just playing games.
I mean, he said that he had never seen Walter.
Yeah.
And the weird thing that I find with this, I mean, maybe it was because there was a big story about Walter at the time, like as a missing one of the missing children, and the big kind of PR disaster that had happened with the LAPD. But what I don't understand is he readily confessed to the other murders. And this is like, you know, deathbed confessions. There's no reason for him to lie at this point. He's going to be executed. So do you think it was just sheer malice that he didn't confess to this mother, Christine? Or do you think that he was literally insane and didn't actually remember? Because I think that was that was her conclusion, having spoken to him.
Yeah.
That it wasn't like he was being manipulative or playing games or anything, but just that she decided like he didn't even know. He killed some kids, but he didn't even know if this was
Yeah, I mean, that could be rationalizing in her head of like, he's probably still alive then. He must be mad. If he doesn't know, then Walter might still be alive, you know? Mm. And that's the other side of the coin, isn't it? It's like, she'll do whatever she can. She'll play mind gymnastics to think that he's still alive. But all she did, she didn't stop looking for him until her death in 1964.
Yeah, 36 years looking for him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, which is utterly tragic.
Yeah.
So, horrendous.
Didn't another one of the boys, though, that was apparently murdered, and I think was one of the ones charged, like that he was charged with, didn't they find him like 5 years later? I think it was, I can't remember his first name, Gathia, was actually found 5 years later, alive.
Oh, Alvin Gathia, okay. I didn't read that.
No,
interesting.
That.
Okay.
I may have to double check that, but I feel one of the boys was actually found alive, and that's what made her... he could be alive then.
Because to be fair to her, apart from the obviously motherly desperation for her son to be alive, there is a logical progression of thought there. As Alex has just said, you know, if you're looking at this man who she thinks quite legitimately might be just insane and is willing to confess to some murders, but insists he didn't kill or even know who your son was, and then there are other missing children, and there is already a plausible theory that your son was abducted by enemies of your husband who was in prison and his criminal associates were attacking his son as some kind of revenge plot. She's already got several alternatives to what could have happened to him. And then, if this happens 5 years later, they find one of the supposedly dead victims alive, then that would absolutely give a reason to doubt whether Walter was dead, you know.
There was one of the boys who escaped. I can't remember who it was. There was someone who was there on the farm, but they managed to escape. So I don't know if it was one of the ones he admitted to killing and then was found alive, or someone escaped. But it was Sanford. Yeah, he was like, one of the boys managed to escape. So that might be what you're referring to there, Alex, potentially.
I may also be thinking to the actual plot of the movie Changeling, in which there was a boy called David Clay, but I don't know if that was a fictional addition in the film. Right. So I don't know if that actually happened in real life. That may have been one of the elements that they spruced up for the film. But no, I swear that is true, but I'm not sure which boy it was. I'm like 90% sure. This is one of those things where if we weren't live, I would now go and check, but just take my words with a pinch of salt.
Pretty horrendous. And then Northcott was, of course, was found guilty, and he was hanged in October 1930. So as a result of this, Christine, of course, never gave up looking. And the town, Wineville, which is where the farm was, changed its name to Mira Loma, which means view from the hill in Spanish, which is much nicer association.
It's nicer.
But of course, if you're like, crap, Mira Loma, that's where I live. You know, I'm sure you would know about this if you lived there.
Shout out to Mira Loma in the chat.
Exactly. Anybody from there? Did you know about the chicken coop murders? Let us know. Have you been to the chicken coop? Where is it now? How's it looking? Let us know.
I imagine they must have torn it down, surely.
Yeah. The house is still standing, apparently.
Really?
Oh my god, that's got to be haunted.
not the coop, but the house itself. Yeah, if you go on Google, and I think it's house 33.
Is it a museum?
60 3360. I know it's not a museum.
Actually, still a house.
3360. It doesn't matter. Why am I saying this? Anyway, you can look up. You can basically look up the house.
Yeah,
you can see it. It's on Wineville Road or something. So there's still roads called Wineville, but the town's changed its name. Is it
still like a house, like people live there, or is it?
It looks kind of it looks
old
kind of empty.
And barren and haunted. Yeah, I can't imagine the people. Many people would want to live there.
I'll send it across to you guys. But if you go into images, there's like, unless it's an identical looking house.
Let's put it as a stretch goal on Patreon to send us to
the chicken coop and
to do like an investigation over there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Christine Collins did sue the police, the LAPD, in 1930s. I don't know if that was before or after Northcott was executed, but around the same time. And she won the case. She won back then, I think, $10,800 in damages, which must be about $170,000 today.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it is around that.
Which is pretty good, except final sting, the police never paid.
No.
How ridiculous. This is, of all the horrific things that happened in this case, I'm not saying this is like worse, but this just like makes me so angry that the police didn't, they were tried, they were convicted to pay the sum, and they just chose not to. They just didn't. And the police captain, Jay Jones, the comic book villain, was then reinstated as the chief of police.
Yeah.
Literally, they had no kind of repercussions as a result of any of this.
Because of his valuable years of experience, Alex.
And in gaslighting women and sending them to mental institutions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it's horrific all round, isn't it? It's really, really terrible. But the whole thing of, a random kid showing up. And I can't believe that he stayed with her for 2 weeks. That's one of the things about the story that gets me is like, he just stayed in our house.
I mean,
what do you talk about?
Surely, like, the first thing you would ask is, when's your birthday? When's your birthday?
Good point. Yeah, you have to set any clue up in your background, wouldn't you?
But yes, it would be interesting to know, because there's things the police make contact with him first. So it's possible that
they fed him information.
Yeah, the boy convinced the police, and that was what was important. That's why she got stuck with the child. So if they asked leading questions, or if he had gleaned enough information from the wanted posters and the radio broadcasts, information about him, then he could have, convinced, in inverted commas, like Martin said, the police wanted him to be found. So they were probably willing to close their ears to anything that was not quite ringing true.
Yeah.
No.
Because he was also 3 years older than Walter.
Yes.
He was 12 years old.
And that's a big, like, that age as well.
It's quite a big gap.
Between a 9-year-old and a 12-year-old is massive.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if we mentioned it. But speaking of that, in those 3 weeks when he lived with her, she went to the dentist and got his like dental records because she had dental records of her son, Walter. And this new kid's dental records didn't match Walter's dental records, so she went back to the police with dental records. It wasn't just like, oh, this hysteric lady, you know, doesn't recognize her own son. She had actual empirical proof that this kid was not her son.
It's so disgusting.
Also in the chat, Spiffing commented saying, apparently the David Clay confession never happened in real life, so I am misleading everyone. I'm very sorry, I am fake news, so sorry. Ignore what I said. Thank you, Spiffing, for looking that up.
Yeah. Oh, there we go. It's a sad and sobering story, and I just can't imagine the pain that Christine Collins went through.
It's a nightmare. I mean, you can see why a film was made, and it sounds like not much. There wasn't too much difference in the film. Like, it was literally what happened in real life, except for the David Clay thing. But
a small measure of hope at the end, kind of. Still ends on a very dark, ambiguous note, that film. It's a good film, by the way. If anybody hasn't seen it, I do recommend it. I saw it at the time, not realizing it was going to take such a dark turn, as in knowing it was already kind of dark because about the child being swapped, but not realizing just how dark it was going to get. And it stayed with me over 10 years later, and it's good enough that I want to recommend it to everybody, but I can't quite bring myself to watch it again because it's just too painful.
Some films aren't there to watch again. Yeah.
The film is called Changeling.
It's Clint Eastwood directed it, didn't he?
He did, yeah. Yeah, he's a good filmmaker until the last couple of films have been a bit weird, but yeah, that's another thing. Having talked about something so dark and miserable and tragic, please let us know your thoughts in the comments. But would anybody be up for moving on to something hopefully slightly more enjoyable, such as a quiz?
Oh, yes.
Sounds good.
Well, here we go. Here we are in the quiz. Now, this is done live, and this is my first time doing it live. Alex has done it live several times. He is the live master. So scores will be updated live, but
Nice.
You know, they might be very wrong. Some people might
You've been doing a fantastic job so far, Rob. I've been following along. You've been adding pictures and stuff. I'm like, this is super advanced.
The transitions didn't work as well as I hoped, but they did work. I can hear Orson Welles. Is that you, Martin?
Is that you, Orson? No.
That may be. Do you know what that may be? That may be someone following us live on Twitch right now. Someone... Actually, why have I said that? Now people are going to do that.
Yeah, do it. Go and follow us. What's our Twitch? Go and do it now.
Twitch.tv/ just underscore interesting.
Are we live on Twitch?
Yeah. No excuses. We're live. We'll hear it.
Right. Okay. So you fellas, I hope you've got your buzzers ready, because I'm just going to take a moment to figure out how to do these scores. Everybody in the chat, you know, you're having a wild time looking at these scores, looking at the screen, looking at us figure out how to do this live thing.
Beautiful, beautiful.
Genuine question though. Where are the scores? Oh, they're the scores. Okay, found them. I got them.
Okay, good
Martin
stuff.
Is now on 0100. That's his score to start with.
Good.
What?
It's a good head start. It's a fair head start.
It's a head start. So Martin gets something wrong, he goes up by a point. If he gets something right, he'll go down by a point from 100.
Mm-hmm.
So see if you can work that one out, Alex.
What are the rules for the chat? Are we going to have just live for us? We won't compete with the chat necessarily in an official capacity this time.
No, absolutely. But please do join in. First three people to get the right answer in the chat can award themselves a point. I will announce them as we go. But I won't be keeping an official track on screen, because if I tried to do that, you would see sparks and crackles and then fire.
We tried to do that once before, and I don't know. I mean, I feel like it was just me scrolling through the chat, finding like, oh, and they got a point, and then just like typing it out very, very slowly. So it's not really the most engaging thing in the world.
Yeah.
True. Well, gentlemen, we have a quiz. It's 10 questions, as always, with an 11th bonus question, if we need it. Oh, and for fun, of course. Do you both have your buzzers at the ready?
I do indeed.
Okay, then. Play me your buzzers, Martin.
A bit of Delia.
Where are you?
Kind of cutting in and out though. But
I'll put my ears on very keenly. I'll try to listen out for that. And Alex, what is your buzzer?
Well, Martin mentioned it just as we were starting, so I just suddenly sprang to me.
We're at the San Diego Yacht and Boat Show. Good morning, everybody. I'm hanging out with my friend John. Fox 5 Morning News starts. Look over there. And it starts right now.
That's so good. What's that video called if people actually want to see it? Because it is.
I mean, you can just type in "and it starts right now" and it will come up. But it's called Fox 5 News Jetpack Epic Fail. The best video on YouTube, I think, including this one that you're currently watching.
Obviously.
It's genuinely one of the best, I think. And it starts right now.
And it starts right now. Okay, then. Question number one. Hope all of you at home listening and watching to us are sitting tight and ready to type in your answers if you want to join in. Obviously, you don't have to join in. But first three people will get a point.
Oh, hang on. I just realized I should turn off the screen, shouldn't I? Yeah. Not looking at that. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. All good.
That's a good point. Yeah. Comments, answers in the comments might give Alex and Martin clues. So here we go. Okay. So question number one. Ice cream. You scream. We all scream for ice cream. Ice cream. We love it. But which country invented it?
That intro was incredible. I didn't know where that was going.
Thank you. I heard Delia saying, "Where are you?"
Oh, look, I have no idea. Ice cream. Is it going to be a hot country? Maybe. Or could it be the UK and we go back to like the Victorian period and ice cream as well? Yeah, let's go for the UK. Why not?
Okay. That is incorrect, I'm afraid.
Starts right now.
Yes, Alex.
So I don't know what their kind of history is with ice cream, except for that they have those eloquent displays when you're trying to buy ice cream from them with the ice cream cones. Mm-hmm. Is it Turkey?
Oh, no, but good cultural knowledge. You know, it is not.
Yeah, we've got. Have you seen those videos where they're trying to take the ice cream and they keep pulling?
Seen
it
those
back?
Videos? I've been there. I've done it, mate. Got the t-shirt.
Well, so have I, Martin. But I just didn't want to brag, you know.
There's a great one where the guy just keeps on eating the cones. So you're like, you know, you left with the cone in your hand.
Yeah,
he left the cone, just eats it. And the guy's
that's not a good idea, though, is it? How many times has that cone been used for that demonstration?
Yeah, true.
Well, someone in the chat has got it already. There's been a lot of interesting guesses, but someone's got it. So, Alex and Martin.
Oh, no, the pressure's on.
Do you want another guess? Yeah, although UK, I can understand that because I remember growing up traditionally thinking, the Victorians invented ice cream. And I think technically they didn't invent what we consider to be modern, like clotted cream ice cream. But, you know, gelato is different.
I mean, I don't know, like... There's literally no idea in my head. I don't know how to narrow this one down. It's not
like where do people eat ice cream?
Yes, Martin.
Let's go for Italy. They like ice cream.
It's not Italy.
That was gonna be my guess. Yeah. Because they love it, don't they? They've got some of the best.
Got their own name
gelato.
For it. Yeah.
Gelato. Who else would have invented it?
Look over there. And it starts right now.
Yes, Alex.
I'm going to throw a curveball.
Yeah.
Maybe it's not as old as I think. Is it the US?
Thankfully not.
Oh.
No. Because going by candy, when the Americans invent confectionery, it's not good.
In fairness, yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, they couldn't invent anything as great as ice cream. Not in the confectionery world.
Yeah.
Sorry, weird. Is there going to be a strain?
Give you a good clue.
Yeah, is there a clue? Yeah.
It is. The clue I'll give you is that it's a country... who have been credited with inventing a lot of other things first.
And it starts right now.
Ooh.
Oh.
That was simultaneous. Gosh, that was a tough one.
I haven't pressed my buzzer, so not really.
Okay, then it wasn't simultaneous. That was just extra noise in the background of Alex's buzzer. Okay, Alex, have a guess.
I mean, the one that sprang to mind from that was just Greece.
It's not Greece.
No.
Invented lots of things.
Yeah. They invented stuff, didn't they? I still had our last podcast in my mind with that ancient Greek computer.
Yeah.
That's a clue, actually. I was asking for a clue. No, who would it be? They were invented ice cream. That'd be mental.
Any country, though. I genuinely, like, I think this could have been any of them.
Oh, this is embarrassing, isn't it?
I can give you one more clue.
Okay, sure, I'll give an answer and then one more clue and then
Okay,
let's go for, I was going to say Germany, but they invented a lot. It's definitely not Germany.
I don't know, cold enough, but no, it's not Germany. Okay, clue, and hopefully this will be a fingers on buzzers clue for you. Okay. Three people now have got it in the chat, so just so you know.
Damn.
It is a country that was a favourite of the former president of the United States.
Over there. And it starts right now.
Yes, Alex.
When you say favorite, I don't know if you mean actual favorite or if you mean he said it in a funny way. So I'm going to go for the saying it in a funny way. Was it China?
It was China. Well done.
Really?
Well done. It was, yeah, China. Ice cream. They invented an iced cream.
Nice.
Way back when.
Wow.
Way back when. Like they invented everything first. So, well then, and in the chat...
Was that question one?
That was question one. This is going to be a long quiz, guys. Sorry about that.
So who was the first one to get it in the chat?
It was Keely McLeod by a long shot. Really, really ahead of the crowd there.
Oh, well done, Keely.
And then Simon Workman and Doom also came up with China. Simon changed his answer, but you know, since Martin and Alex are having multiple guesses, that's allowed.
Fair enough. We can't really judge. Nope. Can we?
In response to something I said, Desolator Magic said, "Oh yeah, America can't invent anything good except electricity, cars, computers, the internet."
Whoa. You're listing things that weren't invented in America.
I was about to say, apart from the fact that those things weren't invented by America, the second thing is that we were simply criticizing confectionery in America. America has invented lots of great things.
I was worried that I'd anger people, but I do specifically mean the confectionery products because I mean. M&M's, is that the best that you can do? Seriously. Hershey bars. Have you smelled a Hershey bar?
Oh, Hershey's horrible.
You're going to be alienating. You see the drop of the viewers.
Yeah, I think the view count has gone down. Oh, gosh, Alex, it's gone down by about 50 people now.
I'm joking.
Okay, question number two. From China to...
Oh, yep, yep.
To Greece, ancient Greece.
I just caught someone. Hey, now, Paulie, say Reese's peanut butter cup. In fairness, that's a fair retort. I will retract my comments.
Okay.
Sadly, I don't like peanut butter, so I can't speak to that one. But actually, Ben and Jerry's, having not invented ice cream, they've perfected it with Ben and Jerry. So I'll give them that.
Ben and Jerry's is pretty good.
It's the best. Yeah,
it's true.
Okay. Question number two: in Greek mythology, the sirens were half human and half what?
Starts. Look over there, and it starts right now.
Alex, straight in there, likes him a siren.
So they were half humans and
Vulcan.
I don't know, not Vulcan, but were they vultures?
I was making a joke about Star Trek.
Martin, do you have a guess?
The sirens, they're in the sea, weren't they? So half human, half fish.
I'm afraid that's incorrect. I will give Alex the point because... it's bird. The answer is bird, but I didn't know specifically if it were vulture, but I was going to accept bird.
I thought sirens were a sea thing.
Exactly. Modern media, I fell victim to this too. We always depict sirens because they're in the sea as mermaids. Mm. And a lot of the comments, actually, most people guessed fish or mermaid because that's how they're depicted. But actually, they are half bird. And it kind of makes sense because birds sing. Fish don't sing. And sirens lure sailors to the rocks where birds perch by singing. So that kind of makes more sense than a load of fish sitting on a rock singing, which is not characteristic of.
I mean, I said vultures, but I think I've just seen them depicted as like vultures because vultures are like, you know, really horrible looking birds, aren't they? So I don't know if I was correct with vulture.
Yeah.
But I will humbly take that point. Thank you very much.
Yeah. And just so you know, Doom and Simon Workman got it right in the chat.
Yes. Nice one, guys.
I think that was it for that question. So Doom and Simon Workman each have 2 points. That means they are tied with Alex, whose score will get updated right now because I keep forgetting to do it. So, oh gosh, no, Alex is on 12. No.
You can leave it there if you want. I'm fine with that. That's fine.
No, that's all right. No, I definitely have to give Martin 11 points for that if I did that.
Thank you. Well, I'm still on 100, so that's okay.
Yeah, still on 100. Yeah. Okay, question number three. What does a petrologist collect?
Petrologist.
Petrologist.
And it starts right now.
I think that might have been Martin.
I think that was the crowd of Norwich. Those distinctive Norwich accents.
Petrologist.
I think on the lines like minerals, some kind of minerals.
Mm-mm. There are minerals, Marie.
Yeah.
What was the Breaking Bad reference?
There we go.
So your guess is?
Like rare minerals.
Rare minerals. I don't know, Alex, what was your guess?
Look over there. And it starts right now.
I was going to guess bacteria.
No, I'm afraid not. I'll give it to Martin because the answer is rocks. But, and minerals are rocks, but they're kind of in rocks. But
close enough.
And I know you're thinking of the right thing. So, Martin gets that point, which gives us 2-1.
I was thinking bacteria because of Petri dish, but...
right. I thought one of you might fall for the petrol thing and go for like fossil fuels.
How can you collect petrol? Like Exxon.
the Emirates do it all the time. But,
yeah.
In the chat, we had a few answers there. I think we had a few rocks. Let's just check. First ones to get rocks were Spiffing. Oh, hello, Spiffing. Back in the quiz.
Rocks, nice.
Double M got rocks. And Simon Workman got rocks.
Simon's taken the lead.
Actually, Simon, I may have to take that back because Matt Quick wrote Stone Scientist, which I think counts.
He got in there, Quick.
Just didn't say rocks. Stone Scientist, I think, does count. Yeah, very quick. Get in there. So I'm already losing track of who's got the highest scores in the quiz. I think it's still Simon and Doom with 2 points each. And Double M has joined and Matt Quick have joined with 1 point each. And Keely McLeod is still in there.
I'm excited to see how your memory holds up further along this quiz, Robin.
It's all going to fall apart. Okay, question number four. Cool. Fingers on buzzers. Alfred Nobel is famous for inventing what?
It starts. Look over there. And it starts right now.
Yes, Alex.
I'm going to fall into the trap. Is it the Nobel Prize?
That's not correct.
Alfred Nobel invented.
Invented. Yes, indeed.
Ooh,
thing is, I kind of, I remember one fact about this.
About Alfred? Relates,
yeah, but it's not what he invented, but it's how he felt about it.
Okay.
How he felt about it?
Yeah.
He really disliked kippers for breakfast.
Is it going to be something dangerous? Ooh, what could it be? What would you invent? Alfred Nobel.
What would one invent?
And the other thing, what would one invent?
He invented NFTs. He made all those bored apes.
He invented the humble meme.
Yeah.
It's going to be something dangerous then. Some kind of weapon, maybe.
The nuclear bomb. That's why he invented it.
Go for that, Martin.
Go for the nuclear.
The nuclear bomb. That's the thing. It's like, if you invent something, you know, it sounds like he's not happy with it. He invented. Yeah, the invent is different, because if you discovered something, that's different, isn't it?
I don't know. A grenade.
Okay. Alex, what was that? You're going to say you just remembered something?
No, it's okay. Was Martin right? Was Martin wrong?
He was not. Clearly, he was not right. However, right. I will say, before you buzz in for the next round, grenade is close, Martin, but it's not
what?
Not what he invented.
Grenade's close.
Yeah, that's a clue.
And it starts right now.
Ooh, yep. Yes, Alex.
Was it dynamite?
It was dynamite. Well,
yes.
Done.
Oh shit.
Yeah. It was indeed. Maybe it was that.
Didn't he invent the Nobel Prize because he was so like he was concerned about his legacy and what, how people
possibly
would see him?
Possibly,
he didn't want to be known as like a merchant of death or a warmonger or anything.
I also have a feeling, and maybe someone in chat can correct me if I'm wrong, I think he killed himself accidentally with dynamite. That's what my memory says. But I may be wrong about that. Okay. Someone might want to check that. But yeah, I think he may have invented the Nobel Peace Prize to offset that. Apparently, he was just trying to stabilize nitroglycerin. And he did.
Classic, as we do. We all do it.
Yeah, we all do it. I'm afraid, fellas, you were far behind the chat. They were really on top of this one. Simon Workman, Nobody, and SS, first time. all got dynamite, which puts Simon, I think, in the lead with, I want to say, 4 points? Definitely three. Maybe tying, Alex, Simon.
I'm tying with Simon. Alex and Simon, I didn't lead. Double M.
Thank you, Double M. Thank you. Yeah, this is where my counting starts to slip.
Come on then, Simon. It's you and me. You and me to the finish.
Alex likes to finish Simon. That's true.
No, Martin has plenty of time to catch up.
Plenty of time. We're only on question five. There's loads of time for Martin to catch up. Okay. Yeah. Hope you like your cocktails, gentlemen, because this question is about cocktails. Right. Ooh. Or a cocktail in particular. A dark and stormy cocktail is made using ginger beer
right now.
And which spirit? I think that was Alex again. Or was it not?
I thought it was me, but I mean, I could be wrong. No?
Okay, go for it. It's fine. You're through. Don't worry.
Dark and stormy is ginger beer and rum.
Yes.
It is rum. It was very simultaneous buzzing, and I could see that Martin knew it. So I might give you both a point.
What? No, that's not how this works.
You still get a point ahead, Alex, but you know.
Martin doesn't get the point for that. I buzzed him first.
I could see he knew. Yeah.
From my
So, we got a few. Oh, Doom says, I don't drink Robin. So, sorry, Doom. But, Jade Dent joining the quiz. Well done, Jade.
You can have the point, Alex.
Oh, there she is.
Don't give me the point. It's fine. I'll just keep the trophy.
Oh, that's true. You still got the trophy. And Simon's in again with rum. And some people guessed vodka. I would have guessed vodka, to be honest. Double M got another point with rum. So I think Simon is still joint in the lead with Alex.
Have you actually given Martin the point there? This is not how a quiz works, Robert.
Yeah, Alex, it's live. Anything can happen. Going on to question number six.
Which... This is outrageous.
The psychological warfare starts here. Question number six. Which territory's name, as in territory?
Yeah.
Which territory's name means fragrant harbour in Cantonese? Oh, that was Norwich. Where are you?
By the harbour, Hong Kong.
Hong Kong. Yes. Well done.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Nicely done.
Because there was an incense factory across the way, and the boats carrying incense used to dock in the harbour of Hong Kong.
I knew that one as well, Robin. Can I have a point?
Yeah, sure, Alex.
Oh, how do people get on in the chat?
How do people do that? You were quite quick that time. You may have got ahead.
Yeah,
you
were very quick.
Oh. Everyone's copying each other. Everyone's put Shanghai.
Oh, yeah. Shanghai. No, double M got in there with Hong Kong. Well done. Double M. That's your third point, I think, isn't it? So it makes you just behind Alex and time with Martin. That's great. And loads of Shanghais. Shanghai, just so you know, I don't know what it means. So let's move
no
on.
No idea.
Let's move
no
on.
No idea.
I used to know. So question number seven. And it's tight. It's getting tight.
If Martin wins this quiz by one point, I'm going to freak out. Well, then I think that could tear this podcast apart.
You better let him win by 2 points then, Alex. In question number seven, in which American state was playwright Tennessee Williams born?
Over there. And it starts right now.
Is it going to be?
Yes, Alex.
Is it Tennessee?
It's not Tennessee.
Oh, okay.
Which state? He was born in New York State.
He was not born in New York State. I'd like to say you're close, but my geography of the USA is not good enough. So, I don't
know. Are you buzzing again, Martin?
Yeah,
it's a bit faint. Yeah.
Okay, so my second guess then, just going by population size, I'm not going to do because you know where California is going to be. So it's got to be somewhere else that's not. That's kind of maybe a Midwest. What about like an Iowa?
Not Iowa.
Dang.
Look over there, and it starts right now.
Tennessee Williams. I'll go California.
California is not the correct answer.
Oh,
it's another state.
Is it?
Oh, yep.
Are we just going to carry on naming states until we
keep going? I mean, I'm happy to give you a clue, but you seem to.
Should we have a clue?
Yeah,
should we keep this moving.
Have a clue. It's spelling wise, it's got characteristics with Tennessee.
And it starts right now.
Ooh, I think that was Alex.
I don't know why I thought of this. Okay. Probably not. Is it Mississippi?
It's Mississippi.
I was thinking
that. Yeah, Mississippi. Yeah, with all the double letters. Well done.
Mississippi.
They seem quite close. Are they quite close? They sound like they might be, but then I don't know geography in the US.
They're part of that collection of
that well.
I think are they the Midwestern states? But they actually, when you look at it, they're all quite eastern, because the states to the west are just massive. But anyway, so in the chat, people not many people got that one actually. I think Double M may be the only person who got that right. No, that's not true. Doom got in there, and Jade got in there as well. Those are the first three. Double M, Doom, and Jade. Well done. Lots of people.
Wait, Jade guessed Kentucky. She doesn't get a point for that.
Our first guess was Kentucky, was it? In that case.
She changed her answer.
But I mean, if there's a veto going on here, I know, Martin, we've got a majority vote. Do we let Jade change her answer?
Yeah, I mean, we have more than one answer.
Okay, then. There we go. Jade gets the point.
Well,
okay. That's the second point for Jade. And I think Doom. Double M is now tying with Alex and Simon Workman. So that's pretty great stuff. Everyone seemed to get Mississippi right at the end there. I don't know if that's because we just said it or what's going on there.
What are the chances?
Very strange. Okay, going on to question number eight.
Okay.
Put your sporting hats on.
Ooh, okay.
The Kirin is an event in which Olympic sport? Oh, Was that Martin? It sounded like Martin.
Oh, that's definitely Martin. He's straight in there.
The one, Kieran, yeah. Shit. The Kieran.
Oh, I thought you knew this.
The answer. I thought you'd know this one.
No, I recognize it. Kieran. No, I've got to pass. I've got to pass. You can't guess.
He's passing. Martin's passing. What,
could you say it again?
I've got to have a think about it.
Did you say this was in the Winter Olympics?
No, I just said the Olympics.
Oh, okay.
I said it's an Olympic sport, so it could be either. Could be either.
How do you spell this, Robin?
Like K, the name Kieran. K-E-I-R-N, I think.
The Kieran.
The Kieran, okay. Yeah.
I think I've got it. I think I've got it.
He's got it.
Can I buzz again or do I?
Go on. Yeah, I haven't got an answer. Martin.
Okay.
Go for it.
I'm pretty sure it's the tandem. It's a tandem, not tandem, but it's when they're in a team event where they peel off in cycling. So you're a team of four and you go around and one of them peels off each time on a lap.
Is correct, Martin.
In like the hippodrome, like, you know, the big indoor cycling. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's quite a fun event to watch, actually.
Yeah,
I enjoyed watching that.
I think that's probably the most interesting of the cycling events. He says, not knowing what the other ones are. So, well done. It's getting close. 5-4, and Martin's earned every single point. And in the chat, a few people got that. I think Gideon Sanders was our first person to suggest cycling. Well done.
Oh, nice.
New entrant.
Very nice.
And Deslater Magic suggested magical flying horses. Close, but not quite. Double M in with another point with cycling. And congratulations to Irandi Becerra. Sorry if I said your name wrong. A new entrant who's got 1 point for cycling. And I think Double M may actually be in the lead now, technically, with 6 points, I think.
Oh, no. But I think I don't think anyone has actually won in the quiz before.
No, like, this might be the first time if it happens.
The chat has beaten us. I think that could this could happen.
This could happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, it's right. If they look like they're going to beat us, I'll just mute us and ask the question. And then when you get the answer right, I'll unmute us.
Oh, okay. Okay,
just close down the thing.
Just shut it down.
Shut the episode down.
This cannot happen. Okay, question number 9. Fingers on buzzers. This actually might be a challenging one for number 9. Sorry about this. Which artistic movement was founded by Georges Braque and Pablo Picasso?
Starts right now.
That was Alex.
Pablo Picasso. Now, what a man he was.
I could
tell you all day about this. Okay, fine. Listen. I have an answer. Is it expressionism?
Incorrect.
Oh, no.
See, I don't actually know either. What I was thinking, the first thing that came to my mind was postmodernism. Mm. But is that an art style? I don't
know. Go for it.
Yeah, postmodernism.
Yeah, make a guess.
Yeah, go for it. Yeah.
Yes, postmodernism. Yeah.
No, that's the incorrect answer. Yeah. But yeah, it is an art style. But I think maybe postmodernism has to come after Picasso, because isn't he one of the modernists?
Modernism.
It's not that one. I'll give you. Do you want a clue? The chat's got chat's on this, all over this.
Okay,
so,
I'd love a clue. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. But I need it.
Clue is, and you will know this. And the clue is, fingers on buzzers, is to do with the shape.
Look over there, and it starts right now.
I think that was Alex.
Oh my gosh! It was cubism.
Yes, correct.
Yes,
it was buzzer. How's cubism. That buzzer coming through quicker than mine? That's
maybe yours is just quieter. Sorry, Martin.
Absolutely ridiculous.
I mean, I believe you got it, Martin. So I'll give you
a quiz ever again.
I'll give you a point because I think you deserve that, Martin. I think
no way. What? Yeah. What? That's not how a quiz works.
So
why have a buzzer system if you're just going to give the other contestant
the point?
There's
only one question to go, Martin, so I hope you get it right. Let's find out.
This is not how this works.
The chat was very well informed. Clearly, they're all artists. First people to get the points would be Irandi Becerra again. Apologies again for getting your name wrong, if I have. But cubism, correct. That's the second point to you. And then we got Jan Srida, which is another new entrant, got cubism. And Peter Kreischel got cubism.
A lot of people
I apologize for mispronouncing everyone's names. But well done. Yeah, people who like art, I guess. Sorry, that sounded like a put down to you two. That's not what I meant.
No, to be honest, I like art. I don't know much about it, I'll be honest. I'm rubbish at it.
Me too.
I remember giving up on art in year 9 when we were given several bits of coursework. Two of them were painting and one of them was writing an essay. And I got like very middling half marks for my two paintings and then 100% for the essay. And I thought, clearly drawing is not for me and I should stick to typing things up on a computer.
I remember something similar. It was like year 9, so what, you're like 12?
Yeah.
And you know, they used to give you those levels. Do you remember the levels?
Yeah,
used to
be like, level between 7. Like,
level 7. Yeah, exactly. So level 7 was, I remember getting my artwork back, it was like level 3. And I was like, how old is level 3 meant to be? It's like, that's like a 6-year-old.
I don't remember the levels. I don't remember the levels. Uh-huh. No, I just remember I really enjoyed art, and I actually really enjoyed it. It was a nice class, but I was terrible at it. And it was like one of the first classes where I tried really hard and just realized, you know what, this isn't for me. This isn't for me.
No. It's tough, man.
Well, I know what is for you both. It's the quiz. So shall we go to question number 10? Fingers on buzzers, because this is a true or false question.
What's the score at the moment?
The score is currently 6-5 to Alex.
And 605.
Double M sadly was too late answering with cubism, so didn't score that point. Mm. But Double M, I think, has the moral high ground at the moment in terms of quiz answering. You may have won by the skin of your teeth, Alex, if you get this, because Double M didn't quite get in time.
Double M's on 6 points as well, so this could be...
Yeah,
isn't he?
Exactly. He'd be on 7 if he got that one, yeah.
If he's in the first three, he could tie at least.
Double M, you may be saying he, but maybe they.
Yes.
So, question number 10. True or false? Jude is the penultimate book of the Bible.
And it starts right now.
Hey, Cedar, didn't even hear my buzzer then.
No, I didn't actually. Was it?
I didn't hear a buzzer.
Didn't hear a buzzer at all. Alex, don't.
I don't know, Martin. Do you want to do this? Should we do this
simultaneously? 50-50, isn't it? Simultaneously, yeah. Okay, I'll count you down.
Well, simultaneously.
I'll count you down. Okay. 1, 3, 2, 1, and then you answer, give your answer. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
False. Yes, false.
And you're both wrong. It's true. It is the penultimate book of the Bible. The final book of the Bible is the book of Revelation, book 66.
Yeah. See, in our old format there, you buzzed in, Alex. You would have gone false. So that means I would have got the point for true.
That's true. That is correct. So I think Martin gets a point there. Martin gets a point for that.
I will admit that, like, I messed with the format then, but I did it in a kind of nice way. I was trying to, like, oh, so we'd say it at the same time, but I actually, yeah, that actually hurt your chances by me doing that. So sorry, you can have a point there.
No,
I mean, if you think that we're drawing, then
you're
having a laugh.
Okay, well, I'm afraid I won't award a point for that because I may have given Martin the point earlier that he technically might not have deserved. So it would still be 6-5, I think, Martin got that. In the comments, actually, most people went for false as well. But SS back again with true. Hey now, Paulie, new entrant, got a point for saying true. And Peter Crashall said true as well. So well done, everyone. Everyone in the comments.
Oh, well done, everyone.
Fantastic job. And Double M said false, by the way, Alex. So didn't get that even right to get a 7th point to defeat you.
Well, so we're still tied, though.
Still
I didn't
tied
get it right
for 6
either,
points.
So
yeah. So there's a chance.
It's a bonus question. Mm-hmm. Double M could still come back.
So yeah, officially this quiz goes to Alex, but unofficially, let's see if anyone can in the chat can get this. Or if Martin can reclaim a point. So, question number 11, bonus question. It's a closest wins, as always. Excuse me, Robert. Sorry, just coughing out my COVID. Closest wins. As of 2022, so this is hot, brand new data, how fast can the fastest car in the world go?
Look over there, and it starts right now!
Yes, Alex.
how fast can the fastest car in the world go?
Yeah, miles per hour.
Is it? Can I have a supplemental question here? Is it like a car, like a road car, like an actual commercial car?
Yeah, so I was thinking too.
You can buy it. Yeah.
Okay.
You can buy it. Okay.
Yeah. I will guess 306 miles per hour.
Yeah, I don't think you're too far off. I've got to be honest. I was going to go for something similar. Mm-hmm. 306. I want to go for a little. Maybe 306 is a lot. That's fast, isn't it? Fastest land vehicle would be higher than that, but a car. 306 miles an hour. That is super, nah. You can't buy that, can you? You can't go and buy a car like that, can you? 292.
Mars is going for 292 miles per hour. Alex is going for 306 miles per hour, and Alex is closer. The fastest car in the world currently can go 347 miles per hour.
No way! Yeah. What?
It's the Devil.
What car is that?
The Devil 16. It costs $1.6 million.
Oh my god!
Then I'll take it.
Yeah. Although I will confess, it's unconfirmed. It hasn't been officially tested yet for its speed. It's what the manufacturers say it can do. But the next fastest car, which has been confirmed, can go 331 miles per hour. So Alex was still the closest.
Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
So if anyone's got some spare change, they can buy themselves the fastest car in the world.
Because the old one was the Bugatti Veyron, which was pretty well known. That was I think that was like 250 something. So I knew that there was one around 300, but I couldn't remember what it was.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Wow. 350. Blimey. Did you see them the other week? There was someone that actually was driving on the German autobahns at like 250 miles an hour.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
wow!
And they were going to get fined for reckless driving. But I thought they didn't
have speed limits in Germany.
What I was confused at. So he was going to get fined, and they were trying to track him down so they could fine him. But they don't have a speed limit, so I don't know. I don't really understand what the rules are regarding that. You can't drive recklessly, but there's no speed limit.
Maybe it's like, automatically it's going to be reckless because you're weaving. You have to be weaving in and out of cars to be able to get out fast, surely.
Yeah.
Madness.
Yeah.
Madness.
I don't know. Well, thank you for the quiz, Robin.
Oh, thank you for joining me. I just want to give a shout out to the closest people in the comments for that final question, which I think would be...
What was Double M's guess?
Double M was 763 miles per hour. So a little out, I'm afraid. A little out.
A little bit out.
I think Hey Now Paulie takes it with a 300 miles per hour guess. Take it back. Quantum Pancakes, 328 miles per hour.
Oh, wow. Nice. Yep, well, that's done. Closer. Yeah.
That is almost spot on.
There are a few like kilometer per hour ones, but I can't do the working out in my head. They may be closer, but...
Yes, Gideon Sanders, actually, 344 miles per hour. But because they wrote 555 kilometers per hour first, I didn't see it, so sorry about that. So Gideon actually was the closest, I think.
Nice.
Thank you everybody for joining us for this very special live podcast. I hope it hasn't been too arduous. It was my first time handling the tech side of things, and so far so smooth. I think
you've been wonderful, Robert.
It's been great
to you too, and thank you for that story. It was a sad story, but a fascinating story. And thank you to everyone, especially to our special thanks to our YouTube members and Patreon supporters for keeping us going and for supporting us all this time. It's absolutely amazing. And thank you all for joining us for this live stream. And this will still be available, probably on an unlisted playlist, but there will be the main discussion available on the channel for all to see. And of course, this will be available happily and readily for your audio podcast platform of choice, whether it's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever.
The other ones.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you again. And I guess that's bye for now.
Yeah. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.